This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
And now we enlighten you with Ayah 260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
In the name of Allah, and when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes, indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take 4 of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by affront, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, FM, and satellites. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT5, and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English programme, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Welcome, everyone. Now, France, a country marked by a violent colonial past, is also a country plagued by a myriad of contradictions. A young female Iranian academic, Mathia Isfandiari, who's never had as much as had a parking ticket her entire life, is now languished in a French prison for 210 days for posting pro-Palestinian content on social media. Now, this as French President Emmanuel Macron continues to criticize Israel's genocide in Gaza, its settlement expansion in the occupied West Bank, and has made a French declaration of recognition of Palestinian statehood at the UN. And if that doesn't scream hypocrisy and duality, let's visit Article 11 of the French Declaration of Human and Civic Rights, which states the free communication of ideas and of opinions is one of the most precious rights of man. Any citizen may therefore speak, write, and publish freely, except what is tantamount to the abuse of this liberty in cases determined by law. This ambiguity is what defines today's France, its policies, and continued detention of a young girl thousands of kilometers from her family and homeland. And this is a topic of your Spotlight program. But first, here's a report.
210 days have passed since the illegal detention of Iranian academic Mahdia Isfandiari by French authorities, a case that continues to spark international outrage and concern. Isfandiari lived in Lyon when French security forces raided her home on February 28th without prior notice. She was taken into custody, denied access to a phone, and held in solitary confinement for over 50 days. Officers also stripped her of her hijab and subjected her to prolonged isolation. Her family described this as a case of hostage-taking, saying the officers arrived unannounced, bundled her into a van, and held her without charge.
There have been no court hearings yet, and she is under a psychological pressure. They took away her hijab from day one.
For an entire month, French authorities refused to provide detailed information to the Iranian Foreign Ministry, which intervened at the family's request. Tehran has consistently called for her release, labeling her detention as unjust and politically motivated.
What has happened to Ms. Isfandiari is an arbitrary detention and, politically speaking, a clear case of kidnapping. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs has made significant efforts to help secure her release. Her so-called crime is essentially supporting the oppressed people of Palestine.
Isfandiari faces accusations of advocating terrorism for involvement in a Telegram channel that denounced the genocidal war on Gaza. Investigators allege she acted under Iran's influence, claims that her lawyer has vehemently denounced as unfounded and purely political. Human rights advocates, neighbors, and supporters argue that the case highlights a troubling erosion of free speech in so-called Western democracies. They believe that Esfandiari's case highlights blatant disregard for human rights and the absence of genuine freedom of expression in the West, including in France. While Paris publicly defends Palestinian rights by recognizing Palestine and condemning civilian casualties in Gaza, Esfandiari's prolonged imprisonment starkly reveals a troubling double standard.
We adopted a credible plan to put an end to the war in Gaza and to save so many lives. We've charted a course towards peace.
As global attention intensifies around Esfandiari's detention, the critical question remains if France will continue its contradictory policies or take steps to secure her release.
And now for our guests. Joining us, Charlotte Chase, a political activist and international coordinator, joining us out of Beirut. Amser Saeed Shah, author and commentator, joining us from Belfast. Hello to the both of you, and a pleasure to have you both on. Welcome. I guess we'll do the gentlemanly thing here, Charlotte, and start with you. Your initial thoughts, please. Why this young girl has been treated like this, Ms. Cates, an academic who was snatched up in shocking and rather caustic fashion, initially denied from notifying her family, treated like a terrorist. French authorities told no one, and it wasn't ultimately until the Iranian embassy got involved and made relevant phone calls and exhausted a bunch of resources till they finally located her.
Unfortunately, while this case is horrifying, it is far from surprising, particularly as we have been witnessing in France over the past 2 years, but of course not just in the past 2 years, over the past 77 years of Zionist colonization in Palestine, a systematic repression and targeting of voices that stand for Palestine in France. For example, George Ibrahim Abdullah, who was recently liberated in Lebanon, was freed after spending over 41 years in French prisons, really at the behest of the United States and Israel, as well as of the French imperialist state. You know, France has consistently, despite these recent words about recognizing Palestine, what we have seen consistently from France is the arming of the Zionist regime, support for the Zionist regime diplomatically, politically, militarily, and by all other means, continuing military trade with the Zionist entity, and at the same time engaging in an all-out war on freedom of expression. For example, we saw the forced dissolution and banning of organizations like the Collectif Palestine Bankra, the largest organization in France advocating for Palestinian rights and liberation, Urgence Palestine, is currently under threat of being banned by the French state. There have been hundreds and hundreds of cases, even members of parliament who have been called in for police questioning. Others have been detained. Others have been sentenced for so-called apology for terrorism, for doing nothing more than expressing in public the fact that Palestinians under international law have the right to resist their occupation and the right to resist their occupiers through armed struggle, and that this is a right that is guaranteed under international law, and that the Palestinian resistance is carrying this out. And so, you know, the case like we're seeing of Mahdia Esfandiari, where you're seeing a young woman who is a scholar, who is involved in speaking out about Palestine simply by writing and posting on a Telegram group is part of the systematic support of Zionism and genocide being carried out by the French state through repression at home in an attempt to shut down the growing movement in solidarity with Palestine.
All right, very well put. And thank you there, Charlotte. Mr. Saeed Shah, thank you for your patience there, sir, and welcome to the program. And your initial take, please, on Mahdia Esfandiari's plight.
Hello to you, to your guests and audience. This is, as your guest said, it's not surprising, but it's happening all over Europe and the United States of America and Canada as well. The global north try to suppress the voices of the resistance. We noticed that in the student movements in the United States of America and against activists in the United Kingdom in the North Island as well. When once there is an activist who are very vocal and well-known and journalist who is truly committed to defend the people who's gone under the genocide. They're trying to silence them. And in here we can see what is the you call it the double standards of the French trying to champion the cause of recognizing the state of Palestine, and they are championing the cause of Palestinian capitulation in here. That's what the French are trying to achieve and to do with what is Macron and the West European countries, including the United Kingdom and the rest of them. All of them were genocide and still genocide enablers, and all of them are trying to, in what all of this new wave of recognizing or joining, I'll call the global north, the global south, in recognizing the state of Palestine. Recognizing what? The state of Palestine. What about the rights of the Palestinian people to live, to exist, while they are going through genocide? You didn't see any move from all of these voices in there to impose sanctions, to stop arming the Zionist entity, to activate even the EU law of partnership and supporting the Zionist entity in trade. So it's all double standards and smoke screens to make sure the Palestinian will surrender to the Western kind of vision, or Trump, a new vision and a new plan for the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, which is they want to beef up the Zionist entity, sustain its existence on historical Palestine, while destroying the Palestinian kind of ability to exist as independent in their own territories, even in the West Bank or Gaza Strip. This is part of the game, and the voices of the activists, the voices of Mahdiya, and the voices of the people who are saying the truth and calling the spade a spade have to be silenced in here.
Thank you, there, Representative Shoth. And Charlotte, what do you make of these Western countries so eager to teach the rest of the world manners and democracy and the Bill of Rights and human rights, when, by the way, many of these values and principles originated on this side of the world before they got over to that side of the world? But these are teachings they all find so laborious themselves to follow.
Well, I think it's quite clear. If it wasn't clear, I mean, it should have been clear to all. The Western imperialist powers have a tremendous amount of blood on their hands and were created through the plunder of people's resources, of people's destinies, of people's futures, through the enslavement of Africans, in many cases through the genocide of indigenous peoples. And right now, what we've been seeing for the past 2 years in occupied Palestine, with the full-on, all-out support of all of the Western imperialist powers, funding, arming, and supporting the Zionist entity, and continuing their collaboration and complicity in genocide through domestic repression, targeting, labeling organizations as so-called terrorist organizations when they are in fact advocacy organizations supporting Palestine, or resistance organizations engaged in a legitimate armed struggle for the freedom of their people. All of these things are full-on complicity in genocide. If there was anybody who had any illusions left about the rights of France, Britain, the United States, Germany at all to lecture the countries of the global south about human rights, democracy, and freedom, this should be completely gone at this point, because it's very clear that those who are defending freedom in the world are those who are standing with Palestine and who are fighting to bring this genocide to an end. So, you know, it is the people of Palestine, the people who are holding steadfast on their land, the resistance forces that are continuing to fight. It is the brave people and armed forces and Ansar Allah movement in Yemen who are continuing to live up to their responsibilities to take action to bring this genocide to an end. To the people who are fighting for freedom and resisting in Lebanon, in Iran, in Syria, and throughout the region, the these are those who are defending human rights and democracy. I mean, the organization that I'm international coordinator of, Samidun Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network, has been banned in Germany, designated a terrorist entity in Canada, called a sanctioned by the United States, is being threatened with bans and dissolutions in the Netherlands and Belgium. And why is this? Simply because we're speaking out for Palestinian prisoners. In Britain, Palestine Action, which has done incredible work to cause material damage to arms manufacturers, manufacturing the weapons that are being used by the Zionist entity to carry out this genocide, has been proscribed and labeled as a terrorist organization. And there have been over 1,000 people arrested and who are being charged with terrorism offenses by the British state for doing nothing more than holding up a sign that says, "I support Palestine Action and the genocide." So there shouldn't be any illusions anymore. It's very clear who is defending freedom in this world, who is defending human rights and democracy. And those are the resistance forces who are every day confronting the Zionist imperialist genocide.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
I wanted to actually change gears and talk about Emmanuel Macron. Actually, I can't talk about Emmanuel Macron because, Mr. Saeb Chath, so many French are struggling to survive these days. Over 15 years of austerity measures, crippling costs of life. I mean, they came out for the last couple of weeks in multiple cities protesting government mismanagement and runaway cost of living. And then Macron hits them, his administration hits them with this new package of cuts to social spending, and then when they come out to protest that, they get hit with batons and upside their heads. And this is a government that supposedly prides itself on being one of the leading advocates of human rights on the planet.
We remember when the French Revolution was some of this new kind of war order created after that, with the bills of rights and the how people, poor people, and the what they called at the time the bourgeoisie should rule and should eliminate monarchy. Suddenly, it's become an empire. You know, they changed. Bonaparte imposed himself as the emperor of that revolution, and it went to invade all over Europe and even to Palestine and Egypt at the time of the French campaign. So it's all hypocrisy that is the West giving us. It's all imperialists, and it's all looting and conquering land to benefit the wealthy. And we noticed the French election, the last French election, Mélenchon and the French strong party won the election, they left. Where are they from ruling France till today? They deny them from even enjoying their own winning at the ballot box. And where is the French democracy in here? Today or yesterday, the former president of France, Sarkozy, went to jail for corruptions and for a lot of things. Nasty stuff they were involved in. And Macron is not that far behind him. And all of these people, they stole the rights of the population and the working class in France for many decades. And the last colossal one was the extending of the retirement age. They stole 5 to 10 years from people's lives and their savings. So this is the way they are. And we've seen them when they went, the French as well on the attack on Libya, and after that they expand their own colonial army to go to Mali and to the West Africa, and looting the gold and looting the wealth of these countries and the uraniums, and impoverish these countries to make France live on the back of the Africans. Till today, this is happening, and they're still looting the resources. And at the same time, they come and lecture us about human rights.
Back to these contradictions that we're mentioning. Another one, this passion that Emmanuel Macron shows Charlotte, and that he presents himself to be so concerned about the fate of Gazans amid Israel's genocide. He recognizes a Palestinian state, while this young girl sits in a jail cell for being critical of the occupation herself. So please help me understand this. Either free her or join her, but this of both of you being of the same narrative, and she's incarcerated, and it's okay for you to stand at the podium and cry crocodile tears for Gazans, it's not really a good look, is it?
It's not a good look, but unfortunately, it's not the same narrative. As your guest was saying just a short time ago, what Macron is trying to do with his so-called recognition of a Palestinian state, which we must note is not actual recognition of Palestinian statehood, sovereignty, and self-determination, because it is a conditional recognition based on the recognition of the Zionist entity. It is based on, actually, under the framework that Macron presents, any state of Palestine must be undemocratic. It must exclude the resistance organizations that the Europeans and the United States and the Zionists label as so-called terrorists. So it's building in a lack of democracy into this recognition. The recognition is not of a state with borders, with control of land, with control of territory, with control of its economy. They want to make it so-called demilitarized, which means essentially what they actually want is a state that has a so-called state that might have a title at the United Nations, but has no control over the Palestinian people's land, future, and destiny, not just from the river to the sea, or even in the West Bank and Gaza. That is not on the agenda of Macron. What Macron's plan is actually about is trying to save Zionism from what he and others in the European Union view as the excesses of Netanyahu and his particular Zionist line, along with Trump. They're trying to save Zionism through the so-called recognition of a Palestinian state, and that's why their rhetoric at the United Nations is not backed up by imposing an arms embargo on the Zionist entity, by withdrawing their ambassadors from the Zionist entity, for calling for the banning of the Zionist political parties that are responsible for continuing to openly advocate and support for genocide, for that matter, for seeking the arrest and prosecution of Netanyahu and Gallant and shipping them to the International Criminal Court. France isn't doing any of that. It's not taking any meaningful action to stop the genocide, but where it is taking meaningful action is by banning organizations working for Palestine in France and arresting and imprisoning people of conscience such as Ms. Bahdia Esfandiari.
And I appreciate you getting to the fine detail. I was hoping you wouldn't, because you're very accurate about that. And that is really, we've opened that can up. We could talk about it forever. We need to have a spotlight titled The Sincerity and the Nuances of These Recognitions. I'm very glad you actually touched upon that. But I'm going to put that also right over to Mr. Saeb Shath. How do you perceive Macron's so-called position, this girl's plight, how there's really no congruity to the two of them, and the nuances that Charlotte was mentioning, the contradictions in the recognition itself?
You see, what the wave recently, and I can see it, witness it from maybe less than 8 years ago, the alliance between Zionism and fascism in West Europe, which is to follow suit with the what's happening in the United States of America with the Trumpism and all of that, the fascist growth. And the French, by acts like that, when they arrest an activist, especially from Iranian descent, in a way they are appeasing the fascists and appeasing Trump as well. And they show and ascended signals to the Iranian as well. As long as the Iran is not engaged with them in the levels with what they want from the nuclear program to the war in Ukraine, because they accuse Iran of standing behind and supplying the Russians. All of that is a game to appease Trump and all his bigger game. And at the same time, the recognition of the state of Palestine goes as well with the Trump new plan designated, as I said, to create a Palestinian kind of surrender to them, capitulation to them. And all of these countries who's from the global north, France, Portugal, United Kingdom, Belgium, Canada, Australia, etc., are the main backers of the Zionists. If we listened a few weeks ago what the UK Starmer conditional recognition of the Zion, of the Palestinian state, when he framed it as in a way which it sounds is a punishment for the Zionist entity if it didn't stop the extermination rather of the Palestinian rather than acknowledging the Palestinian rights or recognizing their national struggle for this over 80 years to liberate themselves from what the British Empire created. So it's all hypocrisy, all of them which they claim they got the values which they govern the world order today. They have no claim on moral high ground whatsoever.
And we're almost out of time. I really want to get this last question to Charlotte. Charlotte, French contradiction, one last one here. Let's visit their constitution. We earlier mentioned in my lead, Article 11 of their so-called French Declaration of Human and Civic Rights states, the free communications of ideas and opinions is one of the most precious rights of man. Any citizen may therefore speak, write, and publish freely, except what is tantamount to the abuse of this liberty in cases determined by law. So if a particular lobby pushes for a particular restriction and they have a strong enough legal team they could put on it, that's how easy it is to compromise it in France, Charlotte. The so-called free speech, you can easily turn it into very expensive speech, as we have seen for this young girl.
Absolutely. I mean, when we look at the history of France, we are looking at the history of colonialism, imperialism, plunder, and exploitation from Haiti to Algeria to Vietnam, and certainly to Syria and Lebanon and throughout the region as well. And so we're seeing that same kind of colonialism being carried out against the Palestinian people and against all who stand for Palestine. And so when we, you know, look at the history of France, despite the slogans about liberty, equality, fraternity, freedom of expression, the reality of that history and the reality of that present is one of violent crushing and suppression of those who fight against imperialism and those who fight for freedom, even when that fight is being carried out simply by words and expression and demanding an end to the genocide in Palestine.
Thank you both sincerely for joining us on the program. Time has gotten the better of us. Charlotte Kaitzer joining us from Beirut, and Mr. Saib Shah there joining us from Belfast. And thanks for tuning in. This brings us to the conclusion of this segment of your Spotlight program. Stay safe and goodbye for now.
Seven, very much pressure.
Come to you, and oh God, knowing that thou art our only King.
Bookshelf proudly presents pieces of the books and translations of various nature and genres on different days.
In the name of God, hello, dear listeners. Welcome to RIB English Radio. This is Saba, and here is Bookshelf, where I share stories with you. Today, we're going to read the story of The Man Who Bought Three Pieces of Advice. These stories are collection stories and the folk story Persian Tales. which translated by DLR Lorimer. These stories are a treasure of wisdom and philosophy, and each holding a lesson for us. Due to their ages, the story may have different retelling, but the core message remains the same. Okay, after a short break, let's go to the story.
IRIB English Radio.
There was once a man who had a son called Malik Ibrahim, and he also had 300 tumans. One day, when he was about to die, he made a statement of his last wishes.
"Son," he said, "it is my last wish that you should go to the advice monger and buy advice from him and do whatever he tells you."
Having spoken thus, he departed from this world. After some days, Malik Ibrahim said to himself,
"I must comply with the last wish of my father."
So he took the 300 tumans and went off to the advice seller. So he said,
"I have 300 tumans, and I will give them to you if you will give me 3 pieces of advice."
Then he brought the money and paid it over. And the wise man said,
1. Don't go out when there are clouds in the sky in the winter time. 2. Whenever you see a pigeon, a hound, and a cat for sale, buy them, whatever the price, and keep them with you and take good care of them. 3. Never tell to anyone the advice you have got, and never tell let an outside woman enter your house."
And he said no more. After the lapse of some time, it was the winter season, and Malik Ibrahim arranged with some other men to travel to a certain place. Now on the road, there was a difficult and dangerous mountain, like the mountain of Zerda. His companion came to him and said,
"Come, let's up be off."
He made his preparation for starting, and he looked towards the southwest, and a little scrap of cloud was visible.
"Oh, sirs," said he, "put off your journey today. We'll start tomorrow morning."
But they said, "The weather is fine now. If you're coming, come along and let be off."
"I'm not coming now," answered he.
"You can please yourself. Well, we're going," said his friend.
With that, they went on their way till they come to the head of pass. There, they saw that a cloud had come up, and the weather broke, and it thundered, and a snowstorm burst on them. The unhappy travelers lost their way and perished there and then. But Malik Ibrahim stayed the night where he was. And when morning came, the sky cleared and the air became warm and pleasant, he set out and started up the mountain and found that all his 3 friends had perished in the snowstorm. He went up to them and examined them, and each one of them had 100 tumans in his bag. He took the money and went on to the place for which he was bound. Thus, he saw that one piece of advice had been proved sound. One day, a man turned up who had a pigeon, a hound, and a cat to sell. The advice he had bought occurred to his mind, and he asked,
"Friend, what is the price?"
300 tumans, neither more nor less," said the owner.
But other people wondered that what is the good of a hound, a pigeon, and a cat for 300 tumans? But Malik Ibrahim paid no attention and paid them immediately and took the animals with himself. That night, however, he had a dream and saw a ring lying about. Now the magic of the ring was obtain whatever you ask for. It was the ring of His Majesty King Solomon. You have only need to pray and say,
"Oh, Your Majesty King Solomon, I have such and such desire. Bring it to pass."
When he woke up, Malik Ibrahim went to an old camping ground and saw a scrap of green cloth lying there. He picked it up and looked at it and saw that it contained the ring. He, carrying it, went joyful back to his animal and said,
"Oh, Your Majesty King Solomon, I want a fine house, a brick of gold, another of silver.
That very instant, they appeared. He took the pigeon, the hound, and the cat into the house, and himself went out for a walk. All of a sudden, he found himself at the foot of a castle. It was a fine and noble castle, and in it there was a maiden with a face like the moon, and some person of high degree had come to seek her hand in marriage, but she would accept none of them. Now, she happened to be sitting in the castle, looking out, and when Malik Ibrahim looked up and saw her, he lost his sense and his heart stood still, and as soon as the maiden saw him, she fell in love with him. Malik Ibrahim sought out a wise, experienced, and ready-tongued man and said to him,
"Go, my man, to the king and seek the hand of this daughter for me,"
and gave him 500 tumans and enlisted his self-interest. So the man went off and presented himself before the king and said,
"The son of such and such a king has come to seek your daughter in marriage."
The king said,
"I will give her to you, but I must have from you 500 camels with loads of jewels. Produce these, and I will give her to you."
The messenger got up and returned to Malik Ibrahim. Malik Ibrahim said, "Go back and tell them, be ready to receive the camels in the morning." In the morning, he performed his prayer and said, "O ring of His Majesty King Suleiman, furnish all that the king has demanded of me." The news was carried to the king. "He has produced all you asked for yesterday, and it was here." So Malik Ibrahim said, "What do you want next?" The king said,
"I want a small castle built of gold and silver bricks for the private apartment of my daughter."
"Good. Come here tomorrow morning and take it." In the morning, king sent a man, and he found the golden and silver castle duly completed. King's daughter on a horse and brought to the new castle, and she and Malik Ibrahim enjoyed each other's company. One day, when Malik Ibrahim went for hunting, a certain man from another country chanced to pass by the foot of the castle. He saw that it was of gold and silver, such as existed nowhere. And there was a fair lady sitting like had never been seen before. The traveler, who was a king's son, went to a strange man, to an old woman, and asked her to induce the lady, so the lady wanted to marry him. The lady said,
"With all my heart, your request is in favor."
She said it, and she went off the castle, arrived there, and she entered the audience hall, and went on it, and sat down beside the wife. She softened the lady's heart so that she was ready to talk with her. Just then, Malik Ibrahim came in and saw the old woman seated by her wife. Next to his wife. He came and sat down and said,
"O light of my eyes, that old woman is a great witch. Don't let her come into the house. She only come to talk to me."
"Well, please yourself. Sooner or later, she'll let you see what she really is." Some days come and went, and the old woman said to the wife,
"Do you ever ask your husband how he built this castle?"
"No, mother, I haven't asked him."
"Ask him, my child. It would be well that you should know."
When Malik Ibrahim came back from hunting, he saw that there was no castle nor anything else. Then he remembered the advice he had bought.
"Good. Now see what I've done. I allowed an outside woman into my house."
Then he came to the side of a lake. He took his boat and arrived in the suburbs of the town to see if he recognized his golden and silver castle. The gate, however, was closed and guarded by watchmen and doorkeepers. The king's son ordered that no one is allowed to approach the castle till he returned in 40 days. The cat, the hound, and the pigeon was thinking to themselves, and they said among themselves, "Our master paid 300 tumans and bought us, that we might be of service to him in time of difficulty. If we're not of use to him today, when shall we be?" The pigeon flew off, and the hound and the cat started out along the road. They went till they come to the edge of the water. The cat mounted on the back of the dog, and so they crossed over the other side, while the pigeon flew over. When they had gone, the pigeon saw the golden and silver castle glittering in the distance. "Oh, brothers," he cried, "I have saw the castle." They were filled with delight and continued on their way. When they arrived near the castle, the pigeon flew up and lit up the top of it. And the cat and the hound entered by water canal. The lady looked round and saw them and was gratefully delighted. She took care of them till they came and come together and said, "Come, let us go and find our master." They went and found him. And he wrote a letter and tied it around the cat's neck. He wrote, "I have come, and I have seen here some days. What can I do? God is kind. He will provide a way." 4 days passed, and the king's son arrived back from his hunting. And they made the preparation for the wedding that it was arranged. Now, Malik Ibrahim was there, but he was afraid to say anything, so they would kill him. Then the cat went off and sent the kings of the mice. "Go and get the ring." "Found the ring and brought it to me." The king of the mouse found the ring and brought it to the cat. The cat took it and put it into the hands of Malik Ibrahim's wife. She was sitting in a deep grief. When she noticed the cat, she was delighted. When she saw the ring, she go and write a letter to his husband, and instructing him to wait in a corner and enter the castle under the cover of darkness. So Malik Ibrahim and the cat hide in a corner. And when the moments come, she went out to find her husband into the hiding place. And she said, "How are you?" "I'm dead," he said, "unless you bring me to life again." So they sat down together in the dark, and then she said, "Oh, Your Majesty King Suleiman, take us and the castle and the king's son and the old woman and the pigeon and the hound and the cat and bring us back to the castle." Immediately, they found themselves at their home. In the morning, they found that the king's son and the old woman were missing. After some search, they found it. The Malik Ibrahim sent for an executor to execute the old woman. Then he gave orders and they struck off the young man's head, and he arrived straightening in a hall.
"I bought 300 tumans worth of advice," said Malik Ibrahim. "And if I had not told my secret and let an outside woman into my house, I should not have suffered these misfortunes. And if it had not been for the pigeon, the hound, and the cat, I should not have recovered my wife and got to the palace."
After this, Malik Ibrahim and his wife settled down to live together in peace. Thank you, dear listeners. This is Sabah, and you are listening to Bookshelf on IRRB English Radio. Have a good time.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
martyrs and disabled war veterans of the Sacred Defense. During the 8-year Sacred Defense, the revolutionary youths, upon reliance on their faith in God and spirituality, displayed the most beautiful scenes of selflessness. They became the best lovers and followers of Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, in remembrance of the third infallible Imam and heir of the Prophet of Islam, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, and his steadfast companions. Throughout the history of nations, there are days in which the threats and dangers are not dispelled and major holy goals are not safeguarded in the absence of selflessness and devotion. At this point, a group of faithful and selfless individuals should enter the scene and defend righteousness until their last breath. The sacred religion of Islam refers to this elevated status of selflessness as martyrdom. Within the 8-year sacred defense, Islamic Iran witnessed the wide-scale presence of faithful and revolutionary youths in war fronts against falsehood. Martyrdom is the most elevated status of selflessness, which is hugely rewarded in the divine court. The faithful individuals long for martyrdom. In ayahs 169 to 171 of Surah Ali Imran of the Noble Quran, God has reminded the elevated status of martyrs, noting, "Do not suppose those who were slain in the way of Allah to be dead. Rather, they are living and provided for near their Lord, exulting in what Allah has given them out of His grace, and rejoicing for those who have not yet joined them from those left behind them, that they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. They rejoice in Allah's blessing and grace, and that Allah does not waste the reward of the faithful." The people of Iran have always been grateful for the courageousness and devotion of martyrs and disabled war veterans and their families. The word martyr refers to someone who has selflessly sacrificed his life for the sake of a sacred goal. Martyrs guide people towards God and establish chastity in human communities. Martyrs also awaken people. Throughout the imposed war, thousands of people courted martyrdom or were disabled. Studying the biographies and wills of these martyrs shows their immense spirituality and faith in God. Aziz Dasht Bozorg, who courted martyrdom in the year 1986 throughout Operation Karbala 4, has pointed out in his last will that the time has come for us humans to learn lessons from the fate of previous generations and to establish faith in God. So read about the fate and destiny of previous generations and learn lessons from them. Also let go of wrongdoings and carry out virtuous deeds. Be honest and truthful in order to achieve eternal prosperity. Remember that you have to leave your belongings and wealth behind. So why don't you donate them? Your bodies will ultimately leave. So why shouldn't you use your bodies for promotion of justice and righteousness? The fact is that death for the sake of God is highly valuable and precious. Many of those who selflessly cover the path of God do not attain the elevated states of martyrdom, and some of them are wounded or disabled in their struggle in the way of God. They face numerous difficulties due to their injuries for the remainder of their lives. Meanwhile, chemically wounded war veterans grapple with more hardships. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, meets the disabled veterans of the imposed war every year in an emotional gathering. The disabled war veterans are still ready to combat for defending and safeguarding the sacred religion of Islam. They never fear death while always longing for attainment of martyrdom. The disabled veterans of the imposed war endure hardships and are epitomes of piety, teaching us resistance and steadfastness against bullying powers and their stooges.
Aquí Teherán, la voz de la República Islámica de Irán.